Good morning. Let's get the meeting started. Meeting's called to order. Let the record reflect that it's 8 a.m. Tuesday, February 10th. Present Representative Gardner, Representative Munoz, and myself, Representative Keller. And also join us is the bill sponsor, Representative Jewell, and his staff, Elizabeth Hensley. And of course, we'll ask the sponsor to intro the bill, and both him and his staff will, Elizabeth will have a short PowerPoint presentation. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off, or you get to bring donuts next time.
Thank you.
If the testimony starts to run long, I'll probably ask you to start to limit your testimony. And when you're in front of the microphone, please state your name and affiliation. We are going, the co-chairs, we are going to hear the bill fully today and take testimony, have discussion, and then we'll hold the bill over for another committee hearing in the very near future. There is a Fisheries Committee meeting at 10 a.m., so we're going to start wrapping up at 9:45. And we will have people online for testimony, and I have a list here, and when it's appropriate time, we'll call them in at that for that. Good morning, Representative Jewell. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Madam Co-Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. My name is Representative Reggie Jewell. I represent House District 40, which is almost everything above the Arctic Circle and encompasses much coastline. With me today is Elizabeth Hensley, who's serving as a intern in my office. And I'm going to give a very brief picture overview of the North Slope, specifically Prudhoe Bay. And the picture behind you shows oil development in the Arctic. And from 1968 to the when we first discovered oil up in Prudhoe Bay, it was a single well. By 1977, this was the amount of exploration that had occurred from 68 to 77. And I start here because in 1977 is when we began coastal zone management. Since that time, how do I move this? I'm looking for technical expertise here. As you can see, in 1989, we had begun our reach throughout the coastal areas of the North Slope and around Prudhoe Bay. By 1999, you can see all of the activity that was there going on, and in 2001. And the reason I wanted to show this in this way, in 2003, we changed the major part of how coastal zone management was done in the north. And the point that I want to make with this picture illustration is that coastal zone management at that time, with the involvement of local communities, was very successful in exploration, in development of our state's resources. And what we're attempting to do is to go back into a process that would allow communities that local involvement, the notion that we may stop development is not accurate. Much development has occurred, as you can see, over a period of time, successfully, and only in one or two instances where projects slowed down. And to my knowledge, no project that was put forward was actually halted because of a coastal zone management in place. One of the breaks that we have in this state with development is that we do it right. And in that time, we can have that boast in this state. And so with that backdrop, I will now turn it over to Elizabeth Hensley, who will run through the legislation for you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Jewell. Elizabeth? Good morning.
Morning. For the record, my name is Elizabeth Segula Kensley. And I've been studying up on this whole Alaska Coastal Management Program and the process, and it's been really tough because it's quite involved. So I hope I can present to you well, and thank you for the opportunity to present on this bill. This bill, House Bill 74, seeks to amend the Alaska Coastal Management Program statutes to accomplish four objectives. But before I go into those objectives, I will briefly outline the program and its history. So the ACMP was created pursuant to the 1972 Federal Coastal Zone Management Act. The intent of the Coastal Zone Management Act is, among other things, and I'll quote from the original, from the Federal Act, to preserve, protect, develop, and where possible, to restore or enhance the resources of the nation's coastal zone for this and succeeding generations, to encourage the participation and cooperation of the public, state, and local governments, as well as of the federal agencies, to provide for the coordination and simplification of procedures in order to ensure expedited governmental decision-making for the management of coastal resources, and to give opportunities for public and local government participation in coastal management decision-making. In 1977, the Alaska Legislature enacted the Alaska Coastal Management Act, which created the ACMP. The program was federally approved in 1979. Originally, a 17-member board oversaw the program, but in 2003, with HB 191, the Murkowski administration concentrated much of the decision-making power in the Department of Natural Resources. So this bill, HB 74, has four objectives. The first is to establish the Alaska Coastal Policy Board. The board would be composed of 9 members, 5 government or governor-appointed members of the public representing coastal districts, and the commissioners of the state resource agencies. The board would be responsible for approving district coastal plans, grant programs, and regulations pertaining to the ACMP. The process set forth in the bill would front-load dispute resolution by encouraging districts to resolve issues with the Department of Natural Resources before their plan is reviewed by the Coastal Policy Board. Additionally, the process would involve all state resource agencies in pre-decision appeals, which is a process provided for in the statute. DNR would maintain day-to-day management of all ACMP matters, and unlike in pre-2003 times, would retain responsibility for project consistency reviews. The second objective of HB 74 is to streamline the ACMP consistency review process and to promote cooperation among agencies when it comes to issue resolution. So one of the main ideas behind the ACMP is to create, to have a one-stop shop for people to go to when they want to conduct activities by the coast. They want to have one place to go to because they have to obtain all kinds of different permits. So it's good to have one place to go to obtain the permits. So to this end, HB 74 brings the Department of Environmental Conservation permitting back into the ACMP process, rather than having to go to the DNR and to DEC for one project's review process. Another way this bill streamlines the consistency review process is by encouraging coordination of municipal Title 29 permitting with the ACMP process. This reduces chances for conflicts between state, federal, and local land permit conditions. The third purpose of the bill is to restore the role of coastal districts by allowing them to establish local enforceable policies that are meaningful. This bill would empower coastal districts without giving them veto authority, which is critical to building partnerships and engaging in responsible development. When local people feel like they've had meaningful participation in a decision, they're often, I think, more apt to welcome the development. This bill also recognizes that local people have local knowledge that is of importance when managing coastal resources. Finally, the federal law upon which the ACMP is based emphasizes the role of coastal districts, and prior to 2003, so did Alaska law. Finally, the bill restores states' rights by reinstating certain provisions eliminated by the 2003 legislation. For example, it allows for extension of the 90-day review limit for consistency reviews that include permits from federal agencies, which allows for more input from the state and the public in the review. It also allows for review of projects inland of coastal zones if there may be coastal effects. And finally, the bill allows for review of individual oil and gas lease sales in federal OCS waters, and there is no other mechanism for the state to have such extensive input in what occurs in the OCS. So with that, that ends my presentation. So thank you, Chair, Co-Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Hensley. For the record, please note several minutes ago that Ledge Council Chairman John Harris and Representative Sisna have joined us this morning. Good morning. Thank you, Ms. Hensley. Is there questions from committee members? Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Talking about the third area, you mentioned that local communities would be empowered but would not have veto authority. Can you talk about sort of the limits of where they'd be empowered and how far they can go before they're...
Sure. As it is today, I think, and we'll hear from testimony later, I believe, coastal districts have had a difficult time in obtaining approval of some of their policies, their enforceable policies. And that has limited their ability to have a say in what occurs there in their community along the coast. And this bill would allow communities to write enforceable policies that become part of the review process, but they're not ultimately responsible for determining whether or not the project is consistent with the standards. That would be DNR who would decide that. And so therefore they could make recommendations, submit comments, but DNR would ultimately have the decision.
Thank you.
Other questions from committee members?
Yes, thank you, Elizabeth. You said that the 90-day review period would be extended on federal projects. Do you know what the new time frame would be?
The new time frame? I don't have that memorized, but I can look. Or if you want, I could get back to you either way.
Sure.
Any follow-up?
I had some other questions, but I'll wait.
Okay, other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Representative Harris.
Thank you for coming forward this morning, and you're sitting next to a pretty good guy, so you know you want to be careful what you say. He'll correct you if you're right. ConocoPhillips sent a letter. I'm sure you've seen it's in the packet you presented to us here. Have you formulated any answers to the issues that they have raised at this point?
As far as I understand there, or would you, is there a specific concern of theirs that you're referring to?
No, but I'm just reading the packet for the first time, and I scanned through it pretty quickly, and I tend to understand the people that support it, and that's fine. And then when there's a negative reaction, I tend to focus on that to try and figure out why the negative reaction. And they they, Mr. Chairman, in their letter, they ask for the existing program, the way it is, to stay in place, and they cite a number of things. And I'm just wondering if you have a response to any of their points, or if it's a little early yet in the process for that.
Yeah. One of the responses that I could give is regarding the DEC carve-out. Uh-huh. And they do state that they think it should be remain two separate processes. I think that that wish may not be unique to ConocoPhillips, but it's also been stated by many other people that it presents confusion having to go to these different entities to obtain the approval. My response to this point would be that generally it would be easier and more efficient and would save money to go to have that DEC carve-out placed back in the ACMP program, because in addition to having the DEC permitting and the ACMP permitting, there are also like Title 29 municipal permitting that people have to go to or through sometimes. So really, instead of just being one or two, there can be three permitting processes they have to go to. So the response would be the streamlining effect could be beneficial to developers, and that just because it's a different kind of process, a new kind of process, I think they could find it that it is actually more efficient and saves time and money.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I guess since ConocoPhillips is not going to have any lobbyists or anybody here, probably they won't testify this year, but this is their form of testimony, maybe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harris. Actually, we do have someone here representing the company, and I'll just preload my questions for when we bring that person up. There's two questions in the last paragraph, and I will pose those. Their same question back to the ConocoPhillips representative. So before we go on to hearing testimony, we have 14 people so far signed up, and then we have Lindsay Walter from the Department of Law in Anchorage. She'll be available for questions probably when I ask Mr. Bates to come up. So before we do that, Representative Julie, want any comments to follow up Elizabeth's opening statement?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the benefit of members who came in a little bit late, Representative Harris, Representative Sisna, good morning. The map on the screen on the wall shows an indication of the activity that from 1968, and what I had attempted to show from the time that we put ACMP in the state of Alaska to 2003 when we made the changes. You can see the level of activity that has occurred. And during that process, much of what we're attempting to do was in place. And development was done very successfully with a minimum of intrusion and slowdowns. There were a couple instances, and I remember at a point in time when a Sierra Club had found a local person in one of the communities to slow down a project, and I can't remember if it was the North Star, if it was Alpine, and we changed the law so that that would not occur. And so the state has been very responsive in their own streamlining efforts. And I guess my point would be, as it relates to your question, I understand that they may have some concerns, but the reason for this is to demonstrate that exploration and development was done quite successfully with the program in place, and it was even a little bit more stringent at the time.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Jewell. Okay, like I indicated before, there's 14 people signed to show up representing all parts of the state. the chain, the slope, all the coastal areas in between, and all the way down southeast. And so I'm going to rotate through them, but what I'd like to do is have the division director, Randy Bates, to come forward, and then, of course, Lindsay Walter is available for, if there are any questions, to assist. Morning, sir. Please state the record and your affiliation.
Good morning. My name is Randy Bates. I'm the director of the Division of Coastal and Ocean Management, which is within the Department of Natural Resources. Mr. Chair, Co-Chair Munoz, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I am here to represent the department and the position of the department on this bill. I appreciate you accepting my testimony as such. The department does not support House Bill 74. There are two substantive concerns with House Bill 74 that we have. Number one, it creates a new oversight body, the Coastal Policy Board, and vests that body with the ability to override agency authority, effectively rendering the legislative establishment of laws relative to resource management and protection moot. Number two, it is a bill specific to the issues of a group of ACMP participants, but it is not a bill that balances or represents all of the ACMP participants and stakeholders. I do have additional concerns with the bill, but I will hold off on detailing those unless, Mr. Chair, you're interested or the members of the committee would like a more detailed review by the department. It's also important to note that we have a fiscal note attached to this bill. With that, my testimony is brief, but I'd be more than happy to answer questions if you have any.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you. On your second point, you say it doesn't represent all stakeholders. Who's not represented here or doesn't have the opportunity to be represented?
Representative Gardner, through the chair, we oftentimes, for an analogy, view the coastal program as a chair or stool. And there are four legs that we see. Number one, there are coastal districts as a leg. Number two, there are state agencies as a leg. Number three, there is the interested public represented. And number four, the fourth leg of the chair, is the industry. This bill represents primarily the coastal district's interest in coastal management. And our concern is if you change one of those legs of the stool becomes very unstable.
And you'd say that under the status quo, it's stable?
Representative Gardner, through the chair, that's an excellent question. We have been evaluating changes to the coastal program because we do recognize that it is it has been challenging since 2003 for many participants. And we are trying to find ways to stabilize the program. We just simply have not reached consensus on what those changes could be at this time as the department.
Follow-up, Representative Gardner.
Can you be a little more specific in the ways you think that currently it's unstable?
Representative Gardner, through the chair, obviously with a bill such as House Bill 74 or Senate Bill 4, you are seeing how some participants in the program would like to see the program stabilized. The creation of the Coastal Policy Board, the expansion of the authority of districts to write enforceable policies, the change in some of the other aspects that Representative Jewell and Elizabeth talked about, as far as the expansion of the coastal zone inland, those are areas that some members of or participants in coastal management would like to see changed.
So to make sure I understand, you're saying that one of the ways in which the status quo is unstable, in your opinion, is that the inland, the opportunity for coastal zone areas to make decisions about inland products, that inland opportunities that might affect them, is lacking?
Representative Gardner, through the chair. That's certainly been represented through this bill. I believe, or the department believes, that we have a program that is relatively functional at this point. It is stable to the point of we're able to implement it. We recognize there is a desire to have change, but we as a department have not come to a conclusion on what that change could or should be, or what form that change needs to take.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry if I'm being obtuse or not understanding, but did you say a little bit earlier that there were areas that you thought the existing program was unstable, or the department thought? That's what I'm trying to get at, or would you say that acknowledging that some stakeholders think it's unstable, in DNR's opinion, it's fine? Is that, I mean, which is it?
Representative Gardner, through the chair, and maybe it's my fault for being obtuse with the answers. I appreciate the questions. A year ago, we as a department committed to reevaluate the program, the ACMP statutes and regulations, and we committed to that process. We initiated it in July of this year. Our goal was to evaluate, is the program stable? Is there change that could or should be needed? Is there change that could accomplish a more stable program, or bring change and engage the particularly coastal districts in a better, different way? So we did recognize that there was a cry for change, that some folks have asserted an unstable program, and we are evaluating that. To date, we have not come to consensus on if there's change necessary or what that change could look like. So I wouldn't put forward the idea that the program is unstable at this point. Certainly, I know that there is a desire for change on certain participants' parts.
Thank you.
Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Randy, thanks for coming here and being vague about how the department feels about this bill, but I'll try to be get a little bit more into some of the letters. You know, I like to read the letters, and some of the letters are one of the letters from Mayor Ida from the North Slope and others show some concern. I liked your answer just a minute ago when you said that you were reviewing some of the issues that stakeholders had. Can you elaborate a little bit more? What is the administration doing to sit down with, my good friend Reggie Jewell, Representative Jewell, is here presenting this bill, and I know Senator Olson on the other side is doing the same thing. Obviously, the North Slope Borough areas along the Kotzebue and Nome and all that area up there, they feel that their issues, their local issues, may not be being taken into consideration as much as they'd like to see. And I think that maybe, and I don't want to speak for my friend there, but I think that may be out of frustration as much as anything else why this legislation has come back. Can you explain to the committee what your department, what the administration in general is doing to sit down with these folks and actually try and work stuff out so we didn't have to see a piece of legislation before us which kind of amends the work that we did a number of years ago to supposedly streamline the process? Certainly not my intention to streamline the process where we streamline people right out of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be what's happening, or the feeling of people that's what's happening. Can you talk about that a little bit, about what you're doing?
Sure. Representative Harris, through the chair, thank you. I will go back, and I certainly don't mean to be obtuse by any means or misrepresent or not characterize the department's position on this bill. Clearly, we've...
Well, I understand what the department's position is very well, so...
Yeah, I laid it out in one sentence, but... As I mentioned, we engaged in a process, a fairly robust public process, to engage all of the participants in the program. And again, it's the industry, the public, the state agencies, and the coastal districts. And we began that process in July. We solicited comments, public input, on what changes generally could we accomplish with the coastal program. Are folks happy with the structure of the program? Are folks happy with the way it's being implemented? We solicited that input. We considered that input. We put out some draft thoughts in the form of draft statutes, draft regulations as the department. We floated those to gather input, to garner ideas, and to further engage all of our participants in what the coastal program is and how we could approve it. In November, we released those draft statutes and regs as a department just for conversation purposes. We held a number of meetings over the course of July to December and talked about these issues in depth. We also solicited another round of input on those, on the possible changes. So we've had multiple comment periods over the past 6 months to garner input and solicit ideas. That's where we stand now. Again, we get a number of suggestions on changes that could be made to the coastal program. We are where we are, where we have not come to consensus with the participants at the table on what changes could be achieved and what we could achieve consensus on. As a complicated program that involves so many different people and we're representing the municipalities as well as the industry, there is obviously a difference of opinion on what is best and how to implement a coastal program effectively. And that's what we're running into not only with this bill, but with as we reevaluated what we could do to accomplish a better program.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I could just have one quick follow-up.
Yes, sir.
So you do have ongoing dialogue, face-to-face dialogue with the affected parties? And could I be a little bit more specific? The map up here shows the North Slope area and that sort of thing, where you know most of our drilling is going on, right? Exploration and development. But what about the rest of the state? I mean, we have development in other areas of the state, or possible development in other areas of the state that would be affected.
Representative Harris, through the chair, the coastal program does go all the way around the coast of Alaska, and we've got 28 coastal districts that are actively participating in coastal management. We have, from my perspective, a good dialogue with those coastal districts. In fact, a representative from Valdez is on what we call the working group. A representative from Valdez sits on our working group. And so we do communicate with her, and she communicates with the South Central region. We do have ongoing meetings. We've had a number of meetings for the past 6 months. We've got another full coastal conference scheduled for March. Of course, everybody's invited to that. And we do communicate on a hopefully regular enough basis so we're understanding the issues and able to respond accordingly.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a couple more questions, then we're going to go to the teleconference individuals. It's the intent of myself and the co-chair that we're going to listen to everyone on teleconference today, and there will be a follow-up committee hearing. Representative Assistant, then Representative Gardner.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and please understand that I am not a fisheries person. I have some experience in my background, but what I have been doing is traveling around the state talking with people in communities, not about fisheries, but about kind of the health of their economies. Mm-hmm. And your comments about the process that you've gone through in the past 6 months, and my own memory of firsthand having watched some of the birthing processes in one part of the state on the coastal zone or the coastal communities developing management back in the early 70s. It was a process that took a long, long time for all of these different communities to develop something that really came up with a plan that did achieve balance and did bring in stakeholders. And so 6 months to me, and this may not even be any part of it, but the other thing I want to throw in here is that this is a time in Alaskan history that is kind of unparalleled in terms of the trauma on communities and fishing communities and all the others. And we just having watched this process for now going on 11 years, we have a tendency to think the world is here, and the world that really brings in the resources is way away from here. And starting in July is right when everybody's out fishing. And having listened to some of these communities and their testimony about the fact that it's beginning to erode the community by having so many meetings and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. I don't know enough about this bill, but I'm wondering about the process, and if we can't be more thoughtful about how we get comments in, what extent is there to try to find ways to get comments from communities and actually have it fit into their lives and their schedules and when they have downtime? And thank you. And I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, for going that direction, but I think it's important to do it.
Mr. Bates.
Representative Sissner, through the chair. As you, I noticed as you were talking about the birthing process of coastal management, we had a young baby in the hallway cry. The irony was not lost on me. The six-month process that we described was not the only process that we went through. In fact, since 2003, when the changes were made to the coastal program under House Bill 191, we have had regular dialogue with all of our participants, particularly the coastal districts. As well, we went through a district planning process with all 28 coastal districts where they revised their district plan. They were trying to update them as according to what was required under House Bill 191. There are three remaining districts that have not secured approval of their plans. That is the North Slope Borough, the Northwest Arctic Borough, and the Bering Straits Coastal Resource Service Area. The first two, Northwest Arctic Borough and the North Slope Borough, requested mediation of their plans. And this was probably more than a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, that we engaged in mediation. As part of that mediation, we went out to those coastal districts. We met in Barrow, we met in Kotzebue, and we met in other areas of the state with other representatives. So we have been discussing these issues. We have been discussing particularly whether coastal districts can secure approval of enforceable policies, what topics they can address, what's important to them. We were fortunate enough to see the communities, see the issues firsthand that they were trying to address. And this hasn't just been in the last 6 months. It's been an ongoing process for us. What we accomplished in the last 6 months is sort of formalizing our effort to evaluate the coastal program and find out if change was possible. I recognize that this is a critical period in our state's history and time, and I recognize clearly that the local governments would like a greater involvement, greater say in what activities, permitted activities, are occurring in their region. I think that through the coastal program, as it currently exists, they have the opportunity to have enforceable policies. In addition to that, they also have the opportunity to participate in the state's permitting process and comment on those activities through either the state agencies or the coastal program. So the districts may want more policies, but they still have the opportunity to participate, submit their comments, and we do consider them as a state, absolutely. The issues are not lost, even if a district does not have an enforceable policy to apply to a project. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll have two more questions, then we're going to move to the teleconference because I plan to try to wrap it up by 9:45. So Representative Gardner, then to the co-chair, Munoz.
Thank you. In answer to Representative Harris's questions, you talked about some changes that DNR proposes to the regulations, and you put them out for public comment. Can you give us just some general broad strokes about what those changes might be, and perhaps tell us if any of them address the concerns that would be addressed by passage of House Bill 74?
Sure. Representative Gardner, through the chair. I hope you don't find my answer obtuse or not direct, but Let me explain to you exactly the process we went through. We did not engage in regulation promulgation through the Administrative Procedures Act. What we did was solicit input from our participants, craft potential statutory changes that might be reflective and responsive to those comments, and we put those out. In order to show how those changes in the statute would be reflected in the regulation, we also showed or put out amended regulations or amended regulatory language as an example or as a draft, just to show the complete change that may occur under coastal management. They were not developed, as I said, under the Administrative Procedures Act formally, so they were just draft put out for show to be able to explain the comprehensive change that may occur. They were also very reflective of the statutory proposals that were put out. There are changes, absent statutory changes, that could be made to the regulations to accomplish some of the issues that the coastal districts and others have raised. Off the top of my head, I don't have a list of those. I'd certainly put something together if that's the interest of either you, representative, or the committee. But there are some changes within the confines of what the existing statutory changes are that we could accomplish through regulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be very interested in knowing what kind of changes DNR is contemplating.
Hopefully that'll come out during this process, Representative Munoz.
Thank you, Randy. One of the arguments against HB 74 is that the legislation could add costly delays, litigation, and make projects more expensive. Are there examples prior to 2003 where the involvement of the coastal districts added cost or delay to projects? I mean, are there some obvious examples of that?
Representative Munoz, co-chair, through the chair, off the top of my head, I don't have an answer for you. I think we have, as part of the foundation of coastal management in Alaska as a voluntary program, has been to include local communities in the decision-making process. So they've always been a valuable participant in the program. They've always had the ability to influence the outcome of projects. And I don't think that we've ever looked at whether that was a costly issue or not, whether a district's concerns raise the price tag of a project. That may be a question that's more appropriately addressed by either representatives from the industry that may be in the audience. Anytime a coastal district raises an issue that is legitimate and needs to be addressed through the state permitting process or through coastal management, we address it and we bring it to satisfaction. So I don't have a particular example or answer related to the money that may be expended on behalf of a district.
I think Representative Munoz brings up a good point, and we're about ready to go out and hear from others, but I think you've set the table that I think the people that are that would comment on this is please give sort of a rear-view mirror look at why there were changes in the 2003 and why there should be changes here. So if there's no other questions, I'd like to start taking testimony. And the first one, and what I'll do is I'll state who I'd like to come up, and then I'll stage the next person so you'll know when you're coming up. I'd like to go to Representative Jewell's home community and start with Tom Oakleasic. Is that correct, sir?
Mr. Hare. Mr. Chair, I have a quick question, if I might, before we move on.
Yes, just a minute. Is Tom, are you online?
Yes, I just got unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, if you could just hold for a second, if you could just stand by for a short question from Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Randy. You said that if a coastal zone or community raises an issue that's legitimate, you do follow through and try to get some kind of resolution. Who determines whether it's legitimate? I mean, how do you decide that? Surely if they raise a question to them, it's legitimate.
Briefly, sir.
Very briefly, Representative Gardner, I'll speak quickly through the chair. All issues are legitimate. How we handle them through coastal management is if an enforceable policy is implicated a standard, a statewide standard is implicated, it is considered under coastal management. If it is not implicated under coastal management, we share it with the agency that has responsibility or expertise in the issue. If it is a fish issue, we go to Fish and Game. If it is a land issue, we go to Department of Natural Resources, Mining, Land, and Water.
So you're really waters, saying if you have jurisdiction.
If we have jurisdiction, okay. We deal with it. Otherwise, we share it.
Thank you, Mr. Bates. After Tom up in Northwest Arctic Borough, I would ask Steve De Albuquerque to be ready to testify next. So, Tom, please go ahead, state your name and your affiliation for the record, and please try to limit your testimony to 3 minutes. We have approximately an hour, and I want to have everybody a chance to testify today. And also, for the record, Representative Millett has joined us. Please go ahead, sir. State your name and affiliation for the record.
Yes, Kleana. Uvunga Atiga Ukulesak, Tom Uklisik. I'm the planning director for the Northwest Arctic Borough in Kotzebue. Teku to the committee for this chance to participate in this bill, and I'm also teku back to Reggie Jewell for introducing this legislation. The Northwest Arctic Borough supports the proposed legislation that would restore the ability of districts to really effectively participate in the program. As you all know, Alaska is a very large and unique state, and it's very important that local input be given into decisions that are made under the statewide program. And the best way to do that is to make sure there's a provision, such as in this bill, that would establish a Board of Alaskans to oversee the major aspects of this program as a publicly funded state-operated program. The proposed board, as you probably already know, would jointly represent state agencies with local coastal districts and, in our eyes, really restore effective public engagement in the program. As was discussed with Randy Bates, our borough had been involved in mediation over our plan, and our plan is still yet to be approved, despite it going on year 5 and 6 of this process. Just to let you know, from our side, it has been very one-sided in the mediation and very frustrating to go through that mediation process. And despite all the effort that we put into it, it still ended in an impasse with our plan basically flat out denied by the state. This bill would fix some of the process of mediation by providing a fair review, because right now our only recourse is basically to go back to the DNR commissioner for a decision that he's already made and also that's already been made by his staff. And there's not an ability to get a third-party review. And just to give you some background, in our mediation, we were required as a coastal district to provide our analysis of state statutes and regulations and interpret how we saw the bills and the laws passed by the legislature and how they were being applied. We were not making up our own rules. We were trying to follow the rules. And in fact, we jumped through so many hoops in that 5-year period. You know, I think our plan may have been rewritten maybe 10 to 15 times. And during mediation, we were still rewriting policies up to 3 to 5 times and still not getting resolution. And when we asked for the state to explain their position, many times the answer was just a flat-out no, with no explanation, no interpretation of regulations. And the frustration was difficult because there's no recourse. A no was just a no, and then an answer didn't have to be made. And that type of problematic situation really needs to be straightened out by the legislature. That's where the ball is back in your court, in order to provide state staff the very clear criteria and direction for approval of district policies, and also make sure there's involvement of a board. The borough also supports the addition of subsistence to the ACMP objectives. Until the changes were made by the Murkowski administration, the ACMP program was a very effective tool in balancing resource development and protection of coastal resources to support healthy subsistence. And that's just a real-life connection that our people and communities have. And when a development comes in, it needs to make sure that reality is recognized and there's a way to actually mitigate through it with the involvement of the local coastal district. And that's why policies, local policies, are so important. There was a question if it slows down a project. In some of my work that I've done here as planning director, the more a company can work with the community to avoid long-term adverse effects, the better the relationship there is with that region and borough or that community. And if anything, I would think it designs the project to be more effective in the long term to make sure that problems are identified early on and that this project can operate harmoniously with the lifestyle of the region. Just in closing, I'll mention that the borough encourages responsible resource development of our natural resources. The Red Dog Mine is the world's largest zinc mine within our boundaries. We recognize the economic importance of development for many, many benefits, but we also know that local coastal districts need to have a role in voicing valid concerns and the potential impacts to subsistence and other coastal uses to make sure we're doing resource development the right way. With that, I'll be available for questions, and just to let you know, hopefully you got the letter from our Mayor Sikorek Whiting inside of your packets. So, Tavra, Deku.
Thank you, Tom. I think what we're going to do is we'll save the questions for, and so we can roll through this, is try to involve as many people as possible. So with consensus with the rest of the committee, we'll just save all questions to the end so everybody gets to hear all points of view. Okay, the next, Steve with ConocoPhillips, and then what I'd like to do is to go back up to the North Slope Borough after Steve and Johnny Aiken. Good morning, sir. I didn't want to butcher your last name. Please, for the record, state your name and affiliation.
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chair Munoz, members of House Community Regional Affairs Committee, good morning. My name is Steve D. Albuquerque. I am the Director of Health and Safety Environment for ConocoPhillips, Alaska. It's an honor. This is my first time testifying in front of the state legislature. Mr. Chairman, ConocoPhillips respectfully opposes the passage of House Bill 74. Simply put, we do not think ACMP legislative reform is needed at this time and question the need for the significant changes proposed by this bill. During testimony last week on Senate Bill 4, we heard coastal districts say many times that these proposed changes to the ACMP will streamline the permitting process and save the applicant time. As a person in charge of permitting for the state's largest oil and gas explorer, developer, producer, let me assure you, Mr. Chairman, that this simply would not be the case. This morning, I'd like to focus my comments in three areas: the existing process, number two, the creation of the policy board, and number three, retention of the ADEC carve-out. Speaking to the existing process, Alaska is one of the most complex and rigorously regulated permitting and business environments in the world. We work very closely on a daily basis with local, state, and federal agencies, as well as private landowners, native villages, and regional corporations, communities, and the public to seek input on all of our permit activities. While we've heard the frustration expressed by the coastal districts with the way the 2003 statutory changes were implemented, we cannot point to a single example with respect to our projects where any district's input or concerns were not adequately addressed in the project decision. That's a very important point. We work closely and well with the coastal districts and the administration. In my 4 years as serving as permitting director for ConocoPhillips under the revised program, I can't think of an instance where we in the coastal districts were not able to satisfactorily resolve an issue. In 2003, the legislature concluded that the Alaska Coastal Management Program is intended to function with a minimum of delay, avoid regulatory confusion, costly litigation, and uncertainty regarding the feasibility of new investment in the state. Furthermore, the legislature said that statewide standards must be clear, concise, and provide the needed predictability as to the application, scope, and timing of the consistency review program. This is the streamlined process we have today. From the applicant's perspective, the ACMP process as we know it today provides the assurance of an efficient permitting process. Existing statewide standards are clear and concise, and we are able, ConocoPhillips that is, are able to establish relatively firm timelines for our projects. Coastal districts are afforded the ability to propose enforceable policies that conform to the district plan approval criteria and requirements. Districts can also propose enforceable policies that are not duplicative, do not restate existing state or federal policies, and do not redefine, replace, or otherwise modify standards, existing standards. In contrast, this bill would allow districts to restrict selected activities within their coastal district. These activities undoubtedly involve uses of state concern and would involve matters already adequately addressed by existing regulatory programs. Decision-making authority concerning the management and the use of state resources vests with the state. The current approach avoids enforceable policies which may be conflicting between the districts, state, and federal agencies, and which could result in a loss of conformity of district policies that currently exists in the program. If there's one takeaway for the committee, Mr. Chairman, ConocoPhillips simply desires a clear and concise permitting process. We just want to be clear what the rules are and be in a position to accurately estimate timelines, project timelines. As you know, resource development in Alaska is already burdened with many seasonal constraints and uncertainties. We have a short winter drilling and work window, as well as limitation on logistics and restrictions on travel to protect tundra, wildlife, and subsistence activities. Our work is extremely time sensitive. From an applicant's perspective, the existing process provides applicants with a coordinated review and approval process and assurances of an efficient, predictable, and timely permitting process. The second thing I'd like to address is the creation of the Coastal Policy Board. We think the creation of the Coastal Policy Board is unnecessary and would unduly complicate the program and add another layer of complexity that doesn't exist today. The current program provides clear, concise, consistent statewide standards for resource development in Alaska. The existing process prevents conflict in the regulatory process and provides applicants and stakeholders with the assurances of an efficient permitting process. The creation of the policy board with approval and decision-making authority could lead to an inconsistent permitting landscape and much uncertainty. From the public comment and input perspective, interested stakeholders currently have ample opportunity to review and comment on proposed projects during the mandated public comment periods associated with obtaining local, state, and federal permits. This already exists. We have to do it anyway. Applicants must comply with municipal codes, enforceable policies of the districts, statewide standards, and existing state and federal regulations to attain final approvals. The last thing I'd like to address is retention of the DEC carve-out, as it's called. We do not support elimination of the carve-out. We believe there's a significant misunderstanding among stakeholders on this matter. Approvals for environmental permits, air and water included, and oil spill contingency plans have well-documented and clear public notice and comment requirements which allow for public input. The public notice and comment periods for these permits have not negatively been affected by the carve-out. Again, the current process works very well. Eliminating the carve-out will reintroduce conflicting regulatory mandates between DEC and the ACMP. It's important to note that the ACMP is a process. You don't get a permit. It's a process. We get permits from other agencies. Adequate public participation and opportunity for review by the coastal districts is provided in the existing streamlined program. It's important to note that adequate environmental review and protection is being provided by DEC as part of the consistency review process. In closing, Mr. Chairman, ConocoPhillips simply desires a clear and consistent permitting process. We're not trying to reduce the level of environmental protection of the places we work or the subsistence resources upon so many of our stakeholders depend. We want to understand the rules and accurately predict the timelines. And as we look at the substantial nature of the proposed House Bill 74, we ask the question why. Since 2003, the existing consistency review process has ensured that both state and local districts' concerns have been met prior to permits being issued for development projects in the coastal zone. We suggest the current program is working as intended, and changes are neither necessary nor desirable. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, Mr. Chairman. At this point, I'd be happy to answer any questions you or the committee might have, and I've also have copies of my testimony if you'd like.
Did okay you. For your first time in front of the legislature. We'll reserve your questions for Steve until the end so that we can get through this long list of people.
Sure.
Thank you. Good morning. The next person I'd like to bring up is from the North Slope Borough, Johnny Aiken, and then I'd like to go to after that is Carol Smith and Valdez.
Good morning. Good morning, Representative Iran and Munoz and members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Johnny Aiken. I am the director of the North Slope Borough Department of Planning and Community Services. I would like to thank you for taking the time to hear the district speak in regard to what we believe is a very important bill. On behalf of the North Slope Borough, I would like to speak in support of House Bill 74. This bill would fix a lot of the problems we faced during the amendment process for a coastal management plan. And we recently completed mediation of our plan with DNR, but we were unable to reach an agreement, as Randy said a little earlier. So we have declared an impasse on the mediation process. First of all, this bill would make it clear that the coastal districts can establish reasonable enforceable policies as long as the policies are clear, concise, do not restate an existing law, and do not address a matter preempted by state or federal law. The 2003 legislative changes to the Alaska Coastal Management Program allowed districts to establish policies for matters not adequately addressed by state and federal law. Although the administration assured the legislature that districts would be able to establish reasonable policies concerning such critical matters as subsistence and activities in federal waters, almost all of our proposed enforceable policies were denied and rejected by DNR. The review process for our plan was very frustrating because the rules kept changing. I believe that the reasons used by DNR to deny our policies were not supported by statutes or regulations. This bill would establish clear criteria for approving district policies. It is important to understand that neither the North Slope Borough nor any other district is seeking to adopt policies that would stand in the way of future development. We have never used our former plan with its wide range of enforceable policies to obstruct North Slope oil and gas development. The North Slope Borough is as dependent on oil and gas as the state is, and we currently do not intend to obstruct development in the future. The second point I wanted to make is that the committee substitute would bring the DEC back into the ACMP project consistency review process. The 2003 DEC carve-out has had some unintended consequences since it removed consideration of activities related to air and water quality from project reviews. Because so many coastal resources and uses are directly related to air and water quality from project reviews. because so many coastal resources and uses are directly related to air and water quality, the scope of the Alaska Coastal Management Program reviews are sometimes not clear. In addition, one of the biggest concerns for the North Slope Borough is the effect of potential oil spill on subsistence resources and uses. Under the current program, we are not able to address these important concerns. And finally, the third point I wanted to make is that the committee substitute would establish a coastal policy board which would be composed of coastal district and state agencies. This board is not intended to be a separate stakeholder group. Instead, its purpose is to represent the state agencies and coastal districts that implement the program. The 2003 changes to the Alaska Coastal Management Program concentrated all decision-making into a single state agency, and we see that as a problem. This bill would give the new board oversight in three major areas. Number one is approval of coastal district plans. Number two is the approval of major grant programs. And three is approval of proposed changes to the Alaska Coastal Management Program regulations. This board would be a streamlined version of the former Coastal Policy Council because it would be smaller and wouldn't get involved in project consistency reviews. Nothing in this bill gives the Coastal Policy Board authority to overrule an agency's decision-making power. Agencies retain their authority, and all three permitting agencies would have a seat on the board. All three of these changes would help streamline the Alaska Coastal Management Program because they would encourage local, state, and federal agencies and project applicants to work together early in the process to solve problems. When all parties have a meaningful role in the process, they are encouraged to find solutions. By solving problems with all the permitting agencies around the same table, applicants would not have to fight separate battles with each permitting agency, and there is greater likelihood that the agencies will have similar stipulations on their permits. Again, there are a lot of good changes in this bill, but I wanted to emphasize the three most significant changes that are really important to us here in the North Slope. I would also like to add that DCOM may state that there are only three districts that do not have approved programs and that the rest of the districts have approved plans and that all is well. Most of the districts, it seems, did not really have the resources to keep fighting for the program that is meaningful and useful, and if they did, I believe they would be in the same boat as we are. Most of these districts are as frustrated as we are. Ms. Terry Camry said at the Senate Committee Community and Regional Affairs Committee hearing, stated that even though Juneau has an approved plan, the people of Juneau are still very unhappy of the process that has taken place. I think this is true of most districts with approved plans. Finally, we really have tried to work with DNR, DCOM, on this revision process, and in good faith. We just do not agree with DNR, DCOM's interpretations of their regulations, and in fact, believe that a lot of its interpretations are arbitrary and capricious. We have access to guidelines published by DNR and have worked within the guidelines to come up with reasonable policies. But DCOM just keeps coming back with different interpretations, or they said the bar a little higher each time, sometimes informing us later that the proposed policy is just not acceptable or approvable. The revision process has been very frustrating to many of the districts, and we are anxious to see that changes are made so that we can move forward. A lot of these proposed changes, as specified in this bill, would restore our faith and confidence in the state government and the Alaska Coastal Management Program. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important bill.
Thank you, Johnny. Just for the record, it is intent of the co-chairs not to move this bill out of committee today. This is a listening meeting, and we will listen to all the stakeholders, and there is no committee substitute. The only bill in front of us is the sponsor's submittal to the legislature. So with that, I'd like to go to Carol Smith and Valdez, and then the next one up would be Terry Camry here in Juneau. Please go ahead, Carol.
Good morning. As you said, my name is Carol Smith, and I'm the coastal coordinator with the city of Valdez. And I appreciate the opportunity to provide these comments on the House Bill 74 on the Alaska Coastal Management Program. Before the regulation changes in 2003, the Valdez Coastal Management Plan had 41 enforceable policies. After the changes, we now have 14. The Valdez Coastal Management Plan was approved after the changes because we felt that it was important to remain a part of the Alaska Coastal Management Program, even though we had lost a lot of our important policies. It was our hope through this that new regulations would be introduced in the future that would give the districts back more a local input through the meaningful policies. And my testimony today will address four issues: the DEC carve-out, the renewal requirement for district plans, the proposed Coastal Policy Board, and the district enforceable policies. To address the DEC carve-out, we support Section 37 of the bill, which eliminates the DEC carve-out. At the November workshop in Anchorage, the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, as well as several of the state agencies, expressed concern over problems that the carve-out had created with their reviews. And so the city also has run into problems trying to coordinate and figure out the different who's responsible for what with the DEC project. So we do support that this be brought all together in a, as we say, one-stop shop. And also, in the renewal of Section 37, this would eliminate the requirement for coastal districts to update their plans every 10 years. Unless your policy needs some revisions to it, this is a very costly and time-consuming process, so we support not being mandated for the 10-year period. We support the proposed Coastal Policy Board. There was a board before, which was, we understand and agree with, was very cumbersome, had too many members, and it did not work well. This new policy board would have much fewer members. It would be representatives from the districts and from the agencies, which are working in the system, in the program, and it would work much better. And also with the mediation process, we feel that this representation would be fairer for the different districts. Instead of having one person or one agency making decisions on these mediation problems. And on the enforceable policy, Section 9 and 14 of the bill would make the criteria for district enforceable policies much clearer. Districts need to be able to write meaningful enforceable policies that address local concerns. The bill would also allow coastal districts to establish policies as long as they do not duplicate an existing law and do not address a matter preempted by a state or federal agency. The Alaska coastline is very vast and different, and one shoe doesn't seem to fit all situations. An example we ran into while revising our plans under the 2003 regulation changes was our commission wanted to, there's a gap between the Clean Air Act and the, our commission wanted to put in a city policy, coastal management policy that would address this gap in there, but because of the regulations, we were not allowed to do that. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to testify on House Bill 74, and this concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Carol. I appreciate your testimony. The next person we'll move on to is Terry Injuno. Then up in the queue after that, I'd like to have Marilyn Crockett ready to go. And if we could please limit our testimony to 3 minutes, if at all possible. Thank you. For the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Co-Chair Munoz, members of the committee. My name is Terry Camry. I'm a planner with the City and Borough of Juneau. I have been working in the Alaska Coastal Management Program for approximately 8 years now, so I'm very familiar with all the different stages this program has gone through over the last number of years. I'm here today to speak in support of this bill, and I'd like to focus my testimony on the district role and the value of district policies. First of all, I want to emphasize that the Alaska Coastal Management Program is, as it implies, it's a management program. It's not a regulatory program. Most district coastal management plans include a variety of policies that both promote development and promote protection of certain sensitive areas. Juneau, in particular, has a series of policies for our special waterfront areas. We have used the Coastal Management Program to develop our cruise ship ports, our marine facilities, our various loading areas. This is the way that we carry forth our local priorities up through the review process with state and federal agencies. As you've heard from many people, the district role was drastically reduced in 2003. In the case of Juneau, our 99 policy plan was reduced to 16 policies, and that was after a lengthy course of mediation to retain some of our lost wetland policies. I want to go back to just a minute addressing some of the comments made by the DNR representative about districts as, about this bill representing a specific group. Districts represent 27 different coastal districts across the state. And the policies that come up, the districts present through the coastal management review process begin with local participation. So I believe it is a mischaracterization to state that the public and the districts are separate. Districts represent local government. Districts represent the public. Districts work constantly with industry, as ConocoPhillips has described. We are not separate legs. I do not believe we have opposing interests. We work together constantly. We have to promote our local economies. Going back for a moment to the loss of policies in 2003. When Juneau lost a number of very important policies through that review process, it was the decision of the Assembly that we would retain those policies in our local land use code. Just because we lost them in the state program does not mean that we are going to eliminate them from our local process. So what that has resulted in is a separate review process rather than a coordinated review process that we had in the past with the state. And that adds time and expense for the developer. The regulations, the policies that we lost did not go away when the state cut them out of our program. We kept them in our code. So to give you just a brief example of that, we have a streamside setback policy that used to be in the coastal management program, and we could not get it approved. It's a non-controversial policy, provides very basic protection to our local salmon streams, a 50-foot buffer around catalogued and Adamer streams. The developers understand it, it's straightforward, the agencies support it, there's no opposition. We couldn't get it approved under the very tight restrictions of the 2003 legislation. So when it was taken out, it's not in our coastal management program anymore, it's in our local code. To address that policy, as well as a number of other important policies that we lost, the developer has to go through two separate processes. This bill would restore Juneau's opportunity to develop and get approval for streamside setback policies and other policies like that, and have it integrated into the review process rather than a separate process for the developer. Another thing I want to bring up is that when Juneau first developed its coastal management program back in the 1980s, we were focused on the Juneau Wetland Management Plan, which is part of the program. And the Wetland Management Plan was a result of what was very restrictive permitting at that time by the Corps of Engineers. We developed that program so we could promote scientifically supported development on low-value wetlands. We wanted to break up the high-value wetlands and the low-value wetlands and push development on the low-value wetlands, whereas the Corps of Engineers has to evaluate everything with a single brush. That was what the result, or that was what promoted that. It's trying to gain a local push for development when the federal agency was taking a restrictive role. Well, of course, politics changed. The Corps of Engineers at a later period took a very lax role in permitting wetland fill. I would like to suggest to you that under the current federal administration, the pendulum is likely to swing back to tighter environmental regulation. Coastal management is a way for districts to bring their local concerns forward and ensure that those local concerns are heard and respected through the state and federal review processes. That, I think, is a critical point. And that's where I believe this bill helps districts, this bill helps industry, this bill helps the public. And again, we are not separate interests. We're all working together. I was a member of the stakeholder groups that Mr. Bates referred to. We had 3 weeks of meetings in Anchorage. Very familiar with industry's concerns. Industry is very familiar with district concerns and agency concerns. And I believe we found a lot of common ground. And I believe this bill works to meet those concerns. It's not perfect. I believe there's some modifications that could be made. I'll go into that in detail when we submit our written comments on this. But I think this is a very positive step forward. I thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Good morning, Terry. The next person I'd like to have up is Marilyn Crockett with Alaska Oil and Gas Association. And following Marilyn, I'd like to have Carl Andrew be ready to go. Good morning, Marilyn.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Thank you. Sorry. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is Marilyn Crockett. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. As you know, AOGA is a private nonprofit trade association whose member companies account for the majority of oil and gas operations in the state of Alaska. And because virtually all of these operations take place adjacent to or within Alaska's coastal zone, we have been very actively engaged in the development and implementation of the Alaska Coastal Management Act and the subsequent program since the program's inception in 1977, and I've been involved since that time. We're providing these comments today as part of our ongoing involvement in this program. Over the past 30 years, there have been a significant evolution in federal and state environmental laws and regulations. In the late 1990s and early 2000s, it became clear that the ACMP had become unmanageable in terms of process and scope, leading to confusion, misinterpretation, and significant delays in processing of permits, largely due to the significant evolution of these environmental laws. The revisions to the program adopted by the legislature in 2003 resolved these challenges and transformed the program into one that provides certainty for the state, local districts, and the regulated community. Unfortunately, House Bill 74, as currently drafted, effectively eliminates the certainty put into place by the legislature in 2003. In the interest of time, I'd like to address a few specific examples. You've heard much today on the DEC carve-out, and we believe this is one of the most problematic provisions of House Bill 74. This provision in existing law implements the original intent of the ACMP, that being that the air, land, and water standards and permits administered by the state are inherently consistent with the Coastal Zone Management Program, and therefore the additional step of securing a consistency determination isn't necessary. These standards were developed over years of technical input and are implemented through permits that are comprehensive and time-consuming, carrying with them statutory and regulatory requirements for extensive public comment periods falling outside of the ACMP review schedule. As in the previous program, elimination of the carve-out will result in consistency determinations on projects being held up until permits with the long lead times are issued and finalized, resulting in considerable delays in projects moving forward and a tremendous amount of certainty in terms of final approval for applicants to move forward. Our second concern relates to the Coastal Policy Council or the Coastal Policy Board. We're very concerned about the reestablishment of this board and the extensive responsibilities that will be vested with it. The bill empowers the board to approve all district programs and enforceable policies, changes to the boundaries, statewide standards, and changes to the program. The Department of Natural Resources may still adopt regulations, but only after approval of the board, which will result in endless back and forth as DNR attempts to mesh the requirements, to mesh its requirements under the Administrative Procedures Act with board approval. We are concerned about the predictability and timelines being eliminated. One of the most challenging aspects of any permitting program is the ability to rely on timelines for decision making, and this is clearly obviously true in Alaska, where we're often faced with operating during limited limited seasons. Unfortunately, House Bill 74 eliminates the decision timeline activities for activities proposed by a federal agency or permitted by a federal agency with no end timeline identified. Virtually every project requires at least one federal permit, so the impact of this provision is dramatic and frankly will not affect just only oil and gas activities, but many other development activities, including home building, given the breadth of wetlands coverage in the state, which will require a permit from the Corps of Engineers. Finally, I'd like to talk about expansion of the coastal boundaries. The bill would expand the reach of activities not only to the coastal zone, but also to inland of the coastal zone if the activities would cause direct and significant impacts to a coastal use or resource. At last week's hearing, we heard a representative from one of the coastal districts state that it's their desire to weigh in on projects adjacent to their district, even if it means over the mountain. Such an expansion of the boundary was never envisioned by the federal program nor in the state program, and is another example of the uncertainty that faces project applicants in determining when their project is in or out of the coastal zone. At the end of the day, the challenges facing all of us is achieving the necessary balance between development of state-owned resources for the benefit of all Alaskans while protecting important coastal resources. We believe the program in place today strikes that appropriate and important balance. I appreciate the opportunity to testify this morning, and Mr. Chairman, I will be submitting a written copy of my comments for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Appreciate that. Let's go. It's the intent of the chair, the co-chairman here, that we're going to listen to everyone today. So please be economical in your comments. The next one, Carl Andrew Tuntutuliak, are you online, sir?
Chairman. Or am I coming on your side?
Yes, go ahead. Loud and clear, Carl. Please provide your testimony at this time.
Representative Heron, Representative Munoz, thanks for giving me this time to submit my brief testimony in regards to the House Bill 74. For the record, my name is Carl Andrew. I am the chair of the Snohomish Coastal Resource Service Area. Our coastal district covers the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, and it includes about 40 villages. First off, I would like to say that the Snohomish CRSA supports House Bill 74. Our plan was approved last August, but it's never been or not very helpful to us. This bill would fix a lot of the problems we've experienced during the past few years it took to get our plan approved. I want to begin by telling you that I am a volunteer. We have not received funding from DNR for the past couple of years. We don't have a paid staff. And our former program director left our program, you know, due to frustrations as to how the state was treating us in terms of our enforceable policies. Subsistence is the most important concern, you know, for the people of our region. our old plan or previous plan, you know, allowed us to talk about impacts to subsistence from development. But under our current plan or our new plan, we can't even comment on, you know, subsistence during a project review of the ECMP. Before we can comment on potential impacts, DNR requires us to designate areas for each type of subsistence use. And our former program director went to every village and developed detailed GIS maps of where the subsistence uses occur. DNR did not approve these maps. We have no designated areas. We also propose 7 enforceable policies about subsistence impacts, but DNR denied those policies too. So now we're like, we can't address, you know, subsistence at all during consistency reviews. So I think this just isn't right. House Bill 74 would fix this problem because it would allow us to have policies on subsistence as long as, you know, the policies doesn't address something covered by a state or federal law. The bill also would establish, you know, a coastal policy board that would have the responsibility to approve coastal district plans. And this board will have members from, you know, all sides, not just one side, you know, making all the decisions. This board is really needed because it just hasn't worked with DNR making all the decisions on our plan. Again, I want to thank you for letting me speak to you today about our coastal management program. Hope you will pass this bill out of the committee. Something needs to be done. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Carl. I neglected to set that up for the next person to testify. At this time, we will go to Soldotna, Gary Williams, and then after Gary, let's go to Wasilla, and Carol will be online there. So if you're online, Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Williams stepped out of the room for just a moment. If you could come back to Soldotna in a minute, we would be grateful.
That's fine. Is Carol in Wasilla ready to go?
Yes, I am. Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, please state for the record your name and your affiliation, please.
Yes, good morning. My name is Carol Colmanen. I'm the program coordinator for Aleutians West Coastal Resource Service Area. I also served as the Southwest Regional Representative on the ACMP Working Group. I'm here today to bring testimony from my elected 7-member Board of Directors, which is largely in favor of HB 74, as I will describe. The AWCRC Board represents the entire Western Aleutian area from Unalaska Island west to Attu Island, area that's 20 to 60 miles in width, roughly 1,000 miles long. This area, bounded by the Pacific Ocean to the south, Bering Sea to the north, has a wealth of natural resources, including some of the richest fishing grounds in the state. We're here today because House Bill 191 mandated significant changes to the Alaska Coastal Management Program and our local district program. I'd like to provide a brief overview of our current coastal management plan. The AWCRSA CMP became effective February 11, 2007. Of the 44 enforceable policies we had at the beginning of the revision process, 10 remain. We no longer have any habitat policies, mitigation policies, or policies that mention air, land, or water quality. Also, we have designated subsistence use areas, but no enforceable subsistence policies. Many of our previous enforceable policies have been moved to an unenforceable appendix and classified as advisory policies. The ACMP, prior to the passage of HB 191, was a network program where local reviewers were on a par with state and federal reviewers. Following passage of HB 191, the program became centralized in DNR. We do not feel that it was the intent of HB 191 to silence the local voice or result in a disconnected program, but it has had this effect. passage of HB 74 will return us to a more meaningful position within a network program. The AWCRSA is in support of the Coastal Policy Board that incorporates the positive aspects of the former Coastal Policy Council. HB 74 accomplishes this by creating a policy board that includes representation from the coastal districts, resource agencies, and the DCCED. We agree that the board's mission should include the ability to approve local district plans, program-related funding, and especially program and regulatory changes. We also agree that the board would not be responsible for consistency reviews and would not hear elevations. Rather, they'd be heard within a review panel of the resource agencies, not solely by the DNR commissioner, as is now the case. The new board would serve as a public forum that should result in more public involvement and a more equitable decision-making process. Also, it would provide an outreach component that is sorely lacking in the post-HB 191 amended program. The DEC carve-out has confused the consistency review process, especially where the scope of the project requires permits for more than one agency. The removal of the DEC has been interpreted as a removal of any matter relating to air, land, or water quality through the program implementing regulations. As I stated earlier, it became impossible to craft any acceptable policies related to air, land, or water quality, or that even mentioned the words air or land. This negated not only policies that were clearly within the regulation of DEC, but also policies related to habitat that might touch on water issues. The return of DEC to the coordinated ACMP program is integral to a meaningful program, and AWCRSA supports the inclusion of DEC in networked ACMP. The AWCRSA does not support the change made in Section 4640-190 relating to cooperative administration. The proposed wording has totally reversed the meaning of the paragraph, has the potential to undermine the existence of CRSAs. Request that the original wording be retained. Time has shown that not all the changes required by HB 191 have worked, and we appreciate the sponsor's effort to address the problems in the current program. Passage of HB 74 will go a long way to restore the role of coastal districts in the ACMP, increase public involvement and oversight, and bring consistency reviews back into a coordinated and networked program. Thank you for your time today.
Okay, thank you, Carol. I'd like to return to Soldotna, and after Soldotna, we're on the home stretch here. Let's, if you could keep it your comments salient, is Mr. Williams, and then we will go to Millie Martin and Homer. Please go ahead, Mr. Williams.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Gary Williams. I'm the Kenai Peninsula Borough Coastal District Coordinator. I want to offer a few brief prepared comments in support of HB 74 this morning. First, the reinstitution of a board to offer a modest level of oversight to the Alaska Coastal Management Program is a positive step. The legislation adopted in 2003 placed the program in DNR and provided too little flexibility in the law to accommodate the differing needs of our coastal areas. Without an oversight board, there's no opportunity for coastal districts to appeal agency decisions when there is disagreement over the interpretation of statutes and regulations. This was a common problem in the rewrite of coastal district plans. Second, the proposed language on page 13, lines 9 through 11, is extremely important in the implementation of a resource management program. The language calls for consideration of the impacts of activities that would cause direct and significant impact to coastal use or to resources. Under current law, a coastal district cannot consider the cumulative impact of activities that would cause damage to a resource if the activity occurs outside the boundaries of coastal resources. The effect is that, for example, an activity in an upland that could damage a nearby wetland may not be considered in a district consistency review. The proposed language in this section must be part of any rational management program. Finally, a general comment. The Kenai Peninsula Borough Coastal Program is part of the Kenai River Center, a multi-agency one-stop permitting entity with borough, state, and federal resource managers working together to process permit applications and to manage compliance. It's a process and a relationship that works. What we've come to know through this process is that bright lines of authority and responsibility don't always exist, and so it is valuable to have a certain amount of overlap and regulations. In developing our rules, it's important that the legislature require us to be inclusive in interagency and intergovernmental relationships and to communicate our common concerns and understandings on resource issues. If in crafting this legislation, you facilitate local and state entities to work together to ensure that development and resource protection are in balance, you'll have produced some fine legislation. And I believe this bill is a firm step in that direction. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. I'd like to go to Homer next, Ms. Martin. And after Homer, I would ask that Andrew be standing by in Dillingham. Please go ahead, Ms. Martin.
Thank you, and good morning, Representative Herron and members of the committee. My name is Millie Martin. I am currently president of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. However, the comments that follow are entirely my own, as at this time the Assembly has not taken action on this particular bill. First of all, I'm very grateful to the sponsors for bringing this legislation forward. I was very much aware, involved, and quite frankly distressed when Governor Murkowski literally gutted what had been a very good program for Alaska's coastal zones. It wasn't broken then. It didn't need fixing then, but I do believe it does now. Each region of the state is different. It has different impacts, and the local oversight, in my view, is very critical. I particularly support the idea of the Coastal Policy Board. I think this will restore what I believe existed prior to the 2003 changes. With this board, coastal districts can appeal when there are differences of opinion or interpretations of DNR decisions, among other things. It restores to the local communities a voice. Section 9 would allow districts to adopt policies that more clearly reflect their own needs, local conditions, and science, especially if the local public wishes stricter than state or federal statutes. I suspect this may prove controversial and may require some compromise. Hopefully, that trend toward more local input and control can be preserved. Section 19 would restore the consistency reviews of projects inland of the coastal zone if there would be a significant impact to the coastal uses. On the peninsula, I particularly am always concerned about any impact to our precious rivers. There are economic engines, and I see restoration of this section as absolutely vital. I very much support many of the previous speakers, obviously, of course, Mr. Williams as well. I look forward to your continuing hearings. I do ask that you pass out of committee HB 74, and I thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Martin. I'd like to go on to Andrew at Dillingham, and after that, we'll have three people left to testify, and so after Andrew, we will go to Karen in Anchorage. Andrew, could you please state your name and your affiliation for the record, please?
Yes, good morning. My name is Andrew DeValta, and I'm the director of the Bristol Bay Coastal Resource Service Area based in Dillingham. I just want to give you a couple of areas of I'm just going to mention a couple of areas in this bill that we do support, and then end with a high-profile example of the failure of the current program. We are not a borough, so we're heavily reliant, in fact, on our own enforceable policies because we can make them locally relevant to the program. The current program has devastated local programs because it basically doesn't allow local relevant policy. Which means we're reliant on statewide standards, which we can use and we have used, but it's a one-size-fits-all thing, you know, just by definition. It's a statewide standard, and as you all are probably acutely aware, it's a diverse state. So that's why you are hearing again and again this emphasis on local policy. Also want to mention that we think the Coastal Policy Board is a good idea. It decentralizes authority just for that reason alone. It's a good idea. as we've seen, centralized authority can be abused. There's no check on it, and I'd venture to say that we wouldn't be here today listening to this if there had been a coastal policy board in effect over the last few years. Finally, this example I want to mention is it's a high-profile failure of a proposed development that happened under the current program. And you may recall that Shell Oil was all geared up to do some exploration in the Beaufort Sea last spring, and then they were prohibited at the last minute because of a lawsuit. Now, this isn't considered a, I mean, you don't think of this lawsuit in connection with the ACMP because the ACMP is not implicated or is not mentioned. It was various groups taking the Minerals Management Service to court over its environmental assessment of their exploration plan. But the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals just decided a few months ago that the Minerals Management Service did not meet the requirements of its NEPA demand. Now, I mentioned this in connection with coastal management because what they cited specifically, a few things, but one in particular was it did not adequately take into account the effect of this exploration on subsistence whaling of the local Inupiat people. And as you heard Johnny Aiken testify earlier regarding our problems with the current program and trying to get plans approved, subsistence has just basically been a non-starter. So I'm just offering this example that, you know, if the program had worked as we all think it should work, where local communities and municipalities have the input they need, I would venture to say that, that this lawsuit may never have had to happen, that a truly functioning ACMP would have resolved that issue long before this, and there would probably be exploration out there today. And I'd also like to use this example as, or this incident, I guess, this lawsuit, as an example of the instability of the current program. I think, you know, Representative Gardner was asking for examples of how it's stable or unstable. To me, this is an example of the instability. The local district was unable to be heard with its concerns regarding subsistence, and this is what's happened. So with that, I'll conclude my testimony. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate everyone's comments. We're down to our last three people, and we'd like to get done. We got about 10 minutes to go, and then a final comment from the co-chairs. I'd like to go to Karen in Anchorage, and following that, we'll come back to Juneau for an individual that's in the room, and then our final stop on our statewide tour here is will be Tom at the North Slope Borough. So, Karen, can you please go ahead, state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Yes, good morning. My name is Karen Kiesecker. I'm a planner with the Municipality of Anchorage, and I work with the Tobish, who is our local coastal district coordinator. We support House Bill 74 because it would resolve some of the issues that we have had with the Alaska Coastal Management Program since its revision in 03. The Muni of Anchorage did receive approval for our coastal management plan revision in December of 07, but it did take a rather lengthy process. We ended up with only five total enforceable policies down from our previous plan, which had a little over 100. One of our biggest problems we faced in revising our plan under the new regulations was approval of our proposed enforceable policies, obviously. Before the changes to regulations in 03, coastal districts could develop policies to address effects to our unique coastal resources. The 03 regs made it basically impossible to establish well-crafted enforceable policies based on local knowledge. So House Bill 74 would clarify that criteria. The new criteria would also allow the Anchorage District to construct meaningful policies that better reflect our local conditions and our management intent. House Bill 74 would also create the Alaska Coastal Policy Board. This board would be a streamlined version of the previous Coastal Policy Council, which was eliminated in the previous administration. Since the Anchorage District worked well with and supported the original Coastal Policy Council in the past, we do applaud efforts to bring back that essential third-party oversight. While it may not be possible for a single agency to represent the views of 28 coastal districts and the other resource agencies, this bill would restore general oversight of the coastal management program to a board with broad agency and district representation. House Bill 74 would also bring back the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation into the Coastal Management Program, removing air and water quality issues from Coastal Management Program reviews has been difficult in our eyes, so we do support bringing DEC back into the process. In closing, I would like to thank you for your efforts to rectify this important program for Alaska, and we do appreciate the opportunity to comment today. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, we got about 5 minutes left. I'd like to go here in the room. Joe Geldhoff is here. No, he's not. Okay. Final person to testify, Tom Lohman, North Slope Borough.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Madam Co-Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Lohman. I've been with the North Slope Borough, first with the Law Department and now with the Wildlife Department for more than 21 years. Our local district plan was approved in 1988, my second year with the borough, so I've been at this kind of a long time. First off, the ACMP is not like other regulatory schemes. It was never intended to be like other regulatory schemes, and I hope you will not try to shoehorn it into being like other regulatory schemes. It is unique, was created that way from the beginning at the federal level with the Coastal Zone Management Act, as you heard from Representative Jewell. It is a voluntary partnership, and any party that opts to become part of the program expects to benefit from their participation. States that opt into the national program agree to meet certain general conditions and in return get federal dollars and a unique, very unique federal commitment to make federal activities consistent with the terms of local programs. In return for that yielding of authority to the differing dictates of the various states, the federal government gets the protection of coastal resources and uses the Congress wisely recognized as being environmentally, economically, culturally, and otherwise of critical value to the country as a whole. And now, mirroring the wisdom of Congress, the Alaska legislature, in crafting our state program 30 years or more ago, adopted a unique approach, unique to Alaska, and we've heard this before, but the authority was further transferred down to the district level, to the local level, recognizing the uniqueness of Alaska, the great size and diversity of our resources and uses, and to be honest, a general spirit that makes communities bristle when told by remote decision makers what's best for them, in the same way that I think every Alaska state administration has had reasons at various times to tell federal decision makers in D.C. or Seattle or San Francisco or somewhere else to back off when they try to implement general nationwide regulations that may work elsewhere but don't make sense here in Alaska. And that historic grant from state to local communities of some real voice and authority when it comes to deciding what is best in our own backyards is really important, not just for the 28 or so active districts that we've heard talked about today, but to the 150 or so or more communities and two-thirds of state residents that we districts represent. I think Terry Camry said it best that the districts aren't the districts. The districts are us. The districts are the residents of this state or most of the residents of the state. This bill tries to correct some of the damage that has been done to the program beginning 6 years ago now. When HB 191 passed in 03, the legislature, districts, and all of the residents that legislators and districts represent were assured that districts would be able to adopt meaningful local enforceable policies dealing with a broad range of coastal resources and uses. And that simply hasn't happened. And despite years of trying to play by the rules after 2003, rules that, as Johnny Aiken has said, continually changed, the districts have been left with a greatly diminished role in the program. It is critical to understand, as Representative Jewell said, that no one should be frightened of districts playing a stronger role in the program. We did for most of the history of the ACMP and never used our local plans to halt otherwise good projects. There were a very few occasions, you heard Randy Bates unable to name a project that was significantly delayed by the ACMP, and that's because it just hasn't happened. In the very, very few cases when the ACMP was a tool used to slow a process, the project had problems on its own and was held up by other permitting processes as well. You know, we're not crazy. We are, we always have been, and will continue to be pro-development on the North Slope. It's also been extremely frustrating that despite a couple of years of tremendous good faith effort and expense on the part of districts, the current administration has been slow to restore the program. Commissioner Irwin gave his assurance at the statewide district meeting in April of 2007 that DNR would fix the program, acknowledging that it was broken, but nothing was done. It was only when ACMP-related bills were filed in February of last year the DNR announced that it would begin a formal reevaluation of the program, and that that reevaluation would not begin until July. Department officials openly acknowledged in a June meeting that it was the bills that got them to act. Again, in good faith, many districts have put a lot of effort into our participation in the reevaluation. We submitted extensive written initial comments in August, attended four full-day meetings in September and October, and a three-day very intense meeting in early December to discuss proposed DNR legislation. We scrambled to prepare extensive comments again over the holidays, and were told that the goal was for DNR to file a bill at the start of this session. You know how sometimes after a long meeting there are a few memorable take-home lines? Well, at the December meeting, DNR urged all of us to work together and pointed out that the success in the legislature usually requires simplicity or consensus. We all agreed that we were unlikely to craft simple legislation, but were hopeful that with continued effort, we might approach consensus. We, along with other districts, asked that we have the opportunity to meet with DNR as they processed all of the input they had received before a state bill was introduced. Well, it's been 2 months since our big three-day meeting. We've had no further communications with DNR, despite asking to have that kind of communication. No administration bill has been introduced. It's just baffling to us. So we strongly support this bill. And one final point, DNR has argued that there are some mysterious legal constraints on the executive's ability, either through the agency itself or through a newly created Coastal Policy Board, to approve district policies that are stricter or more specific than laws passed by the legislature. We think that's ridiculous and have asked repeatedly for a more detailed legal briefing on this issue. We've seen none. No district is looking to adopt policies that conflict with or are preempted by state or federal law. None of us are anti-development and never use our local programs in that way prior to 2003. We just want some ability to shape the development that does occur to meet local needs and concerns. Again, we're not crazy. Any policy that we propose would have to be approved by the Coastal Policy Council or Board, whatever you choose to call it, and we would have to meet certain criteria. If we can't justify it, it won't survive the board. So the predictability that industry wants would occur once the policies are in place. There would be no question of unpredictability or loose time frames or application of the plans. We'd have to meet criteria before the board. Our policies would be passed, and there you have your simplicity and your predictability. And with that, I'll close today. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, very much for running a very great committee hearing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Good morning. The co-chairs have talked to the sponsor of this bill, and we're going to work with him till the next meeting. And the next meeting, we will consider amendments. We will have a debate and discussion. And then there may be invited testimony by working with the sponsor and the other co-chair and the committee members. I appreciate everyone that we were able to get everybody online. Of course, Representative Jewell, you always bring the easiest subjects to our committee, so I appreciate that. But it's a very important one that needs a thorough vetting. And with that, I would ask you for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your hearing the bill quickly. It had been represented at one point early on that this was a bill that impacted certain parts of the state specifically. And as you've heard from public testimony today, from Barrow to Juneau and all along the coasts of Alaska, there's wide interest in this bill where people simply want to have meaningful input restored. And you know, it is my job as a representative of a particular district to represent the people, not the state and not the industry. And sometimes healthy tension is really a good thing. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I look forward to working with you and with this committee the next hearing.
Yes, and kudos to your staff, Elizabeth. She did a good job. And with that, we will adjourn till our next meeting.